Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we have been learning for the past couple of days about how scientists are hoping to protect elephant seals by the research that they are doing. We've talked about a lot over the last couple of days, and there are some fascinating things that we have learned. Nathaniel, what is one fascinating thing that you will remember?
One of the most interesting things to me was how loud these elephant seals are. Hmm. They're as loud as a jackhammer and one of the loudest animals on land. You can even feel the sound of their call if you're standing close enough to them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Carolyn, what's something interesting that you will remember?
Well, their size. Not only are they very loud and make low rumbling sounds, but they are also extremely large. The size of a Ford Explorer, 4,000 pounds. That's a very, very large animal.
That's right. It could be scary to get up really close to one of these creatures. Well, it's also important to remember that humans do make a difference. The human impact on these elephant seals hasn't always been great in the past. While we have a lot more to learn, let's get started with our first reading for today.
Scientists hope to protect seals by understanding their sound. Carolyn knows these individuals so well, she can recognize them from the other side of the dunes, Reckmuth said of Casey. One male, 3C, produces a measured series of clanging pulses. Another's call has the rhythm of a galloping horse. Other males sound like chainsaws, flamenco dancers, or shuffling a deck of cards. Some, like 3C, begin and end their calls with a special touch, a snorty flourish, according to Reckmuth. This season, scientists used a speaker to broadcast recorded elephant seal calls to specific males on the beach. One seal, when hearing the recording, turned around and sped away. Another charged the speaker. "We've had a few speakers run over," Reckmuth said.
Hello, friends. This is your word lady, Ellen. We are finishing up our Nature article today about scientists trying to save seals. But first, here are your key words. Gallop. Gallop is a verb. From the hill, we saw galloping wild horses on the plain below. Flourish. Flourish is a noun. Julie ended her dance routine with a flourish. Encode. Encode is a verb. The team worked hard to figure out the encoded message. Addict. Addict is a verb. That TV show is so addicting. I can't stop watching it. Our more information words are flamenco dancer. Flamenco dancer is a noun. Shuffle. Shuffle is a verb. Oration. Oration is a noun. Do you think the scientists will succeed in protecting the seals? Think about that as we finish our article.
Well, in today's article, we see that Caroline knows these individuals so well, she can recognize them from the other side of the dunes, Reichmuth said of Casey. And we are talking about Caroline Casey, the project's field research coordinator. And you see her name and you might think it's the same as mine, but I am Carolyn and she is Caroline. A little bit different.
Well, those are good things to tell apart. Well, friends, we do see something else you want to tell apart. It seems like Caroline can tell these seals apart. It says that she can recognize them from the other side of the dunes. When you recognize one thing from another, that means you can tell them apart. You know which sound is coming from which elephant seal. So it seems like Caroline Casey is pretty cool. She's an expert in this area. Well, Nathaniel, how do we continue?
The next sentence says, one male, 3C, produces a measured series of clanging pulses. So one of the elephant seals is called 3C by these scientists, and he makes these clanging pulses. I think of clanging like maybe from cymbals, the instrument made of metal that you crash together, and pulses is something that becomes loud quickly and gets soft quickly again, coming back and forth again and again.
And I think of whales when I think of these kinds of pulses. It seems like a lot of sea creatures can make these kind of sounds that send pulses, and they can recognize and communicate in that way. I also think about communicating SOS. That's a kind of pulse that you communicate that you need help. SOS. Three long, three short, and three long, I think it is? Is that how SOS goes?
Yes, I think that's right. And we see that this is not the only kind of call that they have. In the article, it says, another's call has the rhythm of a galloping horse. Well, this is very different from a clanging pulse if we are talking about a horse. And we have a key word, galloping. Now, Nathaniel, we were talking earlier. Can you explain this word, gallop?
Yeah, this idea is actually kind of interesting. The gallop is the fastest speed of a horse. And when a horse is running at a gallop, or when a horse is galloping, all four of its feet will lift off of the ground as it runs.
That's right, and makes kind of a sound or a rhythm like this. Like either two or in threes. That's kind of the sound of a gallop. So if you're talking about a horse, it might be galloping away. You could say the horse is galloping away. It's the fastest a horse can run. Well, how do we continue? Other males sound like chainsaws. Ooh, chainsaws. Flamenco dancers. Or shuffling a deck of cards. Wow, those are very unique and very different sounds. Can you tell us a little bit about this, Nathaniel?
Well, these are very unique sounds. One elephant seal sounding like a chainsaw, which you know is kind of a very loud whirring sound when you use it, and others sounding like a flamenco dancer. And a flamenco is a kind of dance. Do you have any way to describe this dance, Carolyn?
Well, a flamenco dance is usually very fast, and the woman who dances wears a kind of shoe that makes a clicking noise. So it's kind of like a Spanish tap dance, but it's very, very quick and very clacky.
And it's kind of fun to learn a little bit about the history of flamenco in general, but flamenco dancing is very interesting. We also hear or see this shuffling a deck of cards. If you've ever played cards, then you know what that sound is like. Well, Nathaniel, how does this article continue?
Well, it looks like we talk about 3C again. Some, like 3C, begin and end their calls with a special touch, a snorty flourish, according to Reichmuth. There's a few things to talk about here. We want to talk about the use of the word touch first. That's an extra word, an extra little kind of phrase for today that we want to talk about. There are some different ways to use this phrase. If you're making some kind of food, you might add a touch of salt, a little bit of salt. But are there different ways to use this, Carolyn?
Yes. You could also say you want to add a special touch to what you're making, so you make it a little bit more personal. Maybe instead of adding a little touch of salt, you add a personal touch by writing someone's name on top of the cake.
Well, that's true. Or you could talk about it like if you're a musician and you have a solo, it's not just any old solo. You add your own special touch to make it unique. So you can use this phrase to talk about many different things. Well, we continue and we see a word there from the word bank. It is flourish. Usually when I think of this word flourish, I think of something that is spreading, like flowers are flourishing. They're alive and there's a lot of life and energy. It's flourishing. But here we see this word flourish. And what does this mean, Nathaniel?
Well, I think of a flourish as being something kind of unique and dramatic that might be added to something. I often think of artistic flourish. Maybe in a painting there's a little flourish, something that looks very interesting that only this artist does.
All right, so where else would you use a flourish?
Well, earlier you mentioned a solo that an artist might have, and you could add your own special touch, a special flourish into your solo.
That's right. Well, friends, we continue with this article. This season, scientists use a speaker to broadcast recorded elephant seal calls to specific males on the beach. One seal, when hearing the recording, turned around and sped away. But what did another seal do, Nathaniel?
Another charged the speaker. And if you charge something, you run at it very quickly. So he thought it was another seal, and he ran towards it and charged it over.
That's right. Well, we see this word charge. It's an extra word we want to talk about. If you charge something, like Nathaniel said, you run at it very quickly. I think of the animal rhino, or a rhinoceros that gets very angry, or a bull would charge at you if it is very angry. Well, Carolyn, what is our last sentence here?
Our last sentence says, "We've had a few speakers run over," Reichmuth said. So it sounds like when they hear these sounds, some of the seals charge the speakers and run over them. Oh, so their speakers might be broken. Well, now let's take some time to go see Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们来看的是 gallop 这个动词。gallop 是指马匹奔腾或者是骑马奔驰。例如 the race horses started to gallop once they heard the signal. 这些赛马一听到信号就开始奔驰。或者是 the cowboy jumped on his horse and galloped away. 这位牛仔骑上了马背就奔驰离去。接着我们看的是 shuffle 这个动词。shuffle 在这里是指洗牌。例如 the dealers professionally shuffled the playing cards. 庄家很专业的洗牌。或者是 it's my turn to shuffle the cards. 轮到我洗牌了。shuffle 也指拖着脚走。例如 mom always reminds me not to shuffle when I walk. 妈妈总是提醒我走路的时候不要拖着脚。
In our reading today, we've been learning about elephant seals and the sounds that they make. They have many unique and different sounds. Some of them sound like chainsaws, flamenco dancers, a galloping horse, or even shuffling a deck of cards. We've also learned that scientists have recorded some of these sounds and played them back to the elephant seals. And their reactions have been very different. Some of them have even charged at the speakers and run them over. Well, we're going to learn some more about elephant seals in the rest of our reading for today.
Scientists hope to protect seals by understanding their sound. The different responses indicate that the calls are important, and the next step is figuring out what's encoded in the grunty orations. There's no one thing about the sound that allows you to know whether it's a big male or a dominant male, Reichmuth said. When the seals return next winter, scientists will be there once more. It's kind of addicting, Reichmuth said. Sometimes the people migrate back as well.
Well, it is exciting to see what they are learning about these calls and how they are important. Let's look at the first sentence here. The different responses indicate that the calls are important, and the next step is figuring out what's encoded in the grunty orations. All right, first we have a word here to look at. It's a key word for today. The word encoded. Encoded. You hear another word in this word, code, and it has something to do with the meaning. Gabe, what does this word mean, and how would you use it?
Well, a code is something that you create that only you know, or maybe only a few people can figure out. It's a kind of code. So you encode something, that means you are creating the code. Well, I also think of decoding something. If you figure out what a code is, that's called decoding. D-E-C-O-D-E. Carolyn, how do you use these words?
Well, if I'm writing an email and I don't want anyone else to read it except the person that I'm sending it to, I might encode my email so that no one else knows what it says.
Interesting. Do you do that often?
No, not very often.
Well, that seems like it might be fun to decode one of Carolyn's emails. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. If you encode something, there is a reason for that. You don't want people to see. Isn't that right, Nathaniel?
Yes, that's right. And I thought of another group that also communicates by encoded messages, the military. They often do that. Okay, there's another word that we want to look at here today, oration. It's a more information word, and it basically is something like a speech. So you could think about some of these calls that the elephant seals make as speeches, grunt speeches or grunty orations, as it says. Is there another case where we could use this word oration, Carolyn?
Well, if you do want to give a speech, you might say, oh, well, that is a wonderful oration. You did a wonderful job explaining that topic. And you could also say vocalizations was a word that we had learned previously from this article. And it just means to make sounds, to speak. And they have a very grunty speech.
That's right, a grunty oration. You see that word grunty. Actually, I don't know if that's an actual word. Grunt is a word, but oftentimes in English, you can just add a Y. It's kind of slang if you want to make a word an adjective. A grunty oration, that's an adjective. Well, Nathaniel, how does the article continue?
Well, we have a quotation next. There's no one thing about the sound that allows you to know whether it's a big male or a dominant male, Reichmuth said.
So what's the difference between a big male and a dominant male? Or are these kind of the same thing? I think maybe in our article it's kind of meaning the same thing. Is that right, Carolyn?
Well, a big male would mean a large male, so one of the larger of the elephant seals. But a dominant male would be the male that is in charge. So it's hard to tell just from listening to their calls whether they are very large seals or if they are actually dominant. They are the boss.
And sometimes they are in charge. They are, the big ones are the boss. Like Carolyn said, they are the dominant ones. Well, we continue. When the seals return next winter, scientists will be there once more. It's kind of addicting, Reichmuth said. Interesting. It's addicting. Let's take a look at that word from the word bank. If something is addicting, that means it interests you and you can't get enough of it. You want more. You're addicted to it. Nathaniel, how could you use that word?
Well, some television shows you could consider addicting or addictive. If the story is really interesting and you just really want to know what happens next, you could say, I find this show addicting.
It's quite an addicting show. What about you, Carolyn? How do you use that word?
That's right. Well, you can use it to talk about good things being addictive, but sometimes there are bad things, like smoking is an addictive habit, so you want to avoid it. Usually, if something is addicting, you shouldn't be doing it.
Right. But sometimes, as we can see here from this lesson, it can be a good thing. It can be something that just really interests you. Like a great TV show or book, it's addicting. And humans might go and visit these elephant seals again, as we see here, or we will see later. But right now, we need to continue by watching a review skit. Enjoy!
Shh! Listen! That's 3C! He sounds like clanging pulses.
He does?
Yes. Ooh, and that's Max. He sounds like a galloping horse.
They both sound the same to me.
Not to me. I know all their calls. I can recognize all the elephant seals from far away.
Really? How?
It's easy. Jack sounds like a chainsaw. Angus sounds like a flamenco dancer. And Simon makes the sounds of shuffling cards.
That's amazing.
Yeah. This season, we used a speaker to broadcast elephant seal calls.
So how did the elephant seals respond?
Some ran away, and some charged the speaker.
Goodbye, speakers.
Right. The different responses indicate that the calls are really important.
So what's the next step?
The next step is to figure out what's encoded in those grunty orations.
That might take a while.
Yes. That's why I come back year after year. It's kind of addicting.
So the scientists migrate here just like the seals.
Well, at least we don't communicate just like the seals.
True.
Well, watching those review skits can be a bit addicting. I do enjoy them so much. And we have one more sentence left in our article today. It says, sometimes the people migrate back as well. So, people migrate? Nathaniel, what does this mean?
Well, usually we don't think about people migrating, but since they are coming back to a place just like animals come back to specific places, it can be used here also. Okay, it's time to see what Steve and Ken think about this idea of migration in the info cloud, and after that we're going to visit Michelle in the language lab.
The word migration is a term we use to describe the long-distance journey wild animals make on an annual basis.
So why do migrations happen? It's usually because of a change in season, availability of food, or for mating reasons. Every major animal group has migrants. We're all familiar with the migration of birds, fish, butterflies, and turtles.
And maybe the most famous of all migrations, the Great Serengeti Migration of East Africa, which includes countless wildebeest and zebra.
Well, the migration of the northern elephant seal is somewhat famous too. That's because it's the only mammal in the world that makes not one, but two migrations each year.
It is amazing. After breeding on the beaches of California and Mexico, the seals swim thousands of kilometers to feed in the northern Pacific Ocean. Later, they swim back to the beaches to molt or shed their skin. That's one round trip.
After they're done with that, they swim to the same feeding area again. When they get nice and fat, they swim back to the beaches in the south for the next breeding season.
And that's the second round trip. In total, northern elephant seals swim about 33,000 kilometers each season.
Now that's what I call migration.
我们今天来继续看北方象鼻海豹这种动物呢，它是会 migrate 迁徙，但是它跟其他动物不同的地方是，象鼻海豹每年迁徙不止一次，而是两次。它们每年会从加州的沿岸前往北太平洋觅食，然后再回到南方的海滩上 molt。molt 就是脱换的意思，一般用于动物的毛、羽毛或皮，像蛇每年都会 molt its skin, 脱皮。那脱皮之后呢，这些海豹又再往北迁徙，把自己喂得饱饱的，然后再回到南方。它们一季游泳的距离可以高达33,000公里，这是北方象鼻海豹的一大特色。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
OK, 继续我们来看的是 encode 这个动词。en 这个字首又是成为的意思。code 是指密码，所以 encode 是指译成密码或者是编程密码。例如 the confidential data were encoded, 这些机密的资料已经编成密码。或者是 these encoded files are accessible only to the supervisors, 只有上级们才可以读取这些加密的档案。所以我们看的是 oration 这个名词， ORA 这个字根有说话的意思，所以 oration 是指演说、演讲或者是口若悬河。例如 The novelist's oration at the award ceremony touched a lot of people, 这位小说家在颁奖典礼中的演说感动了许多人。或者是 The speaker delivered an oration on the subject of single parents, 这位讲员演讲的主题是单亲父母。 And back to our program.
For the past 3 days, we have learned a lot about elephant seals and their vocalizations or orations that they use to call to each other. This makes me think of humans each having their own unique sounds. Gabe, what is one unique sound that humans have?
Well, everybody has a different sound of a sneeze. So someone might have a really big sneeze, someone else might have a really little sneeze. Everyone is unique. Nathaniel, what other unique sounds do humans have?
Well, it is funny to listen to all these kinds of sneezes, and a laugh is also something that is different from each person. Very unique.
That's right. So we all have our own unique laugh, our own unique sneeze. These are unique sounds to each person. We also have unique voices, though we can try to imitate each other. Well, think about your own unique sound and how you recognize each other by those sounds, and we will see you here next time on Studio Classroom.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. The Spaniard was wearing a big Mexican hat and had a lot of white hair and a thick white beard under it. His eyes were hidden by green glasses. When they came in, the other man was talking in a low voice. The two men sat down on the floor facing the door with their backs to the wall, and the speaker went on.
"No,"
he said.
"I don't like it. It's dangerous."
"Dangerous?"
The voice of the deaf and dumb man, who couldn't hear or speak, sounded angry. It filled the boys with fear. It was the voice of Injun Joe.
"Why can't you be a little less afraid? It's not more dangerous than the job we did together up the river."
There was silence for a minute, and then Injun Joe spoke again.
"All right. You go back up the river to your own town and wait there. I'm not afraid to go once more into this town to make a plan for the dangerous job, as you call it. Just now, we must decide what to do with the stuff we hid here. It isn't a good place for it."